Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go, this is it!
This is Top Flight Dune Machine. I am Andy Hotbody Dawson. Pow, pow, a pow.
I'm Sir Mr. Delaney, so what?
We're going to have a look at another archive, historical, top 40 and its contents throughout the next half an hour or so. And the random pop blob is going to choose that chart for us right now. Random blob, use your gob. Tell us how to do our job.
Whoa, what a year for music. I mean, well, one of the best ever Top of the Pops, you know, BBC 4, yeah, the story of 1981 is one of my favourite ever ones.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, before we even get into the Top 40 rundown, I think 1981 might have been the best year for pop music because you had the new wave groups who had come through in the late 70s were still hanging around. You've got the disco is still a thing.
Yeah.
You've got the synth groups starting to come through, the New Romantics and the Human League and all that kind of thing.
Two-tone was in its
Two-tone,
pomp.
Exactly. There's all sorts of stuff just colliding together. And it was, maybe the best year ever for pop music.
Very good. And Very good.
I don't think we've done a 1981.
I don't think we have either. I'm excited. I think our previous favourite was a 1984 chart, which we had to do over a number of episodes because we thought that was the best top 40 we'd ever seen.
Yeah, we did it over about 2 months.
We could be looking at another contender for the crown here.
Yeah, definitely. I would just glance through this top 40 and I just thought, whoa, holy moly, there's all kinds in here. So let's have a look. Let's just do the top 40 rundown without further ado. Here we go. Down 60 places at number 40, it's Godley and Cream with Under Your Thumb.
Right in from number 50 up 39, it's ABC with Tears Are Not Enough. That's what I said to my wife during our court proceedings. I said, tears aren't enough, love. I want blood and cash.
You're going to need hard evidence if you're going to take me down. Down 5 places at number 38, it's Genesis and Keep It Dark, which is something else I said to my wife during divorce proceedings. But actually, it was during the marriage itself, but she wasn't interested. She wanted it vanilla, and that's why we're no longer together.
Up several places, I can't calculate how many.
It's a chart entry.
To 37 is The Lunatics Have Taken Over the Asylum by Funboy 3. This is something that I said in court, referring to the judge and the various other bureaucrats that seem to be shaping my life at their very whim. I said, the lunatics have taken over the asylum here. It's absurd.
They're practically puppet masters, and I'm just an innocent pawn in their game.
I'm a cork on the waves.
Down 13 at 36, Ottawan, and they're singing, hands up, give me your heart. Or in the case of my wife, give me £1,200 a month.
Up 11 places at 35, it's Yes Tonight, Josephine, by the Jets.
I see what they've done there. Down 14 at 34, it's that big, fat, bald bastard from Bad Manners with Walking in the Sunshine.
Down 11 places at 33, it's the Depeche Modes with I Just Can't Get Enough.
Something else your wife said. Oh, maybe I revealed too much there. Because he wasn't saying it to you, was she?
She couldn't get enough of me. None that of was the problem. She'd had her fill many years ago.
Chart entry at number 32, Japan. Weirdly singing Visions of China. Make your mind up, guys.
Make your mind up. Is it Japan or China? You can't have both. By the way, if you do struggle to know the difference between Japan and China, I've got a little rhyme that works as an aid memoir. No, I won't go into that now. The producers just said to crack on with the chart. No movement at 31 for Trevor Walters with Love Me Tonight.
Similarly, there's no movement at number 30, the Electric Light Orchestra with Twilight.
A new entry at 29 from eccentric vegetarianess Chrissy Hynde and her Pretenders with I Go To Sleep.
I'll tell you that kitty's got claws, mate. Straight in at number 28, it's Soft Cell. I don't know what these guys are about, but this song's called Bedsitter.
I don't know if you've heard some of the nasty rumours going around about a stomach pumping incident with their lead singer.
Yeah, that guy's got an appetite.
I don't know what to believe these days. 27, it's The Voice by Ultra Vox, which of course is Spanish for loud voice.
Standing still at number 26, Rush with Tom Sawyer live.
At 25, it's Cool and his gang with Steppin' Out. And worth noting here that they've spelt Steppin' in the American style without a G on the end and just an apostrophe after the end. Disgraceful.
Down 9 places at number 24, it's Laurie Anderson with what I regard as one of the most offensive records I've ever heard. It must be some kind of joke. It's called Oh Superman, and it's nowhere near as entertaining as the Superman movies. It's a disgrace. Actually, I'm going to ban it. Laurie Anderson, I ban thee.
At number 23, it's Modern Romance with I Moosey.
If that one doesn't get to the top of the charts, I'm going to remove one of my fingers with some pliers. There's a vow. Up 18 places at number 22, it's the lovely, lovely, smooth-skinned Diana Ross with Why Do Fools Fall in Love? Well, let me tell you, Ms. Ross, I'm very much in love with you.
A voice like velvet honey. At 21, down. What's that now? 5 places. It's Toya with Thunder in the Mountains.
It's almost the opposite of Diana Ross there. Weird, weird Toya.
Very strange lady.
Very. I would imagine lots of sudden movements. You'd be on your guard at all times, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
What's she going to do next?
It never relaxed in her company. Whereas Miss Ross, I would feel soothed and relaxed at all times.
Soothed and relaxed. Whereas Toya, but she might just try and take your eye out with one of her pointed fingernails.
I tell you what, I wouldn't line up behind the wheel of my Austin Metro.
Definitely not. Up 17 places at number 20, Earth, Wind and Fire with Let's Groove.
At number 19, down a whopping 11 places, it's The Jam with Absolute Beginners.
Shaken Stevens tumbles 4 places to 18 with It's Raining.
Down 5 at 17, it's Barry Manilow with Let's Hang On.
Down 7 places at number 16, it's the most fun song I think we've had in the charts for many years. It's the Birdie Song by The Tweets.
I tell you what, every time I get sick of this job and just think about quitting and hitting the road across Europe on my new chopper bike, I hear a song like this and it revives my hope in pop music and the power it has to change and inspire.
Absolutely. It's a generational thing, isn't it? It's once in a generation, a song like that. And, you know, it's just going to take pop music as we know it and spin it off in a brand new direction, I imagine.
This is why we do what we do. This is why we are entrenched balls deep in pop.
Balls deep.
Down 5 at number 10, Open Your Heart by the Human League.
Or even number 15, who knows? Up 3 places at number 14, I think a song we can all identify with, mate. It's the Furies and Davey Arthur with When You Were Sweet 16.
Great memories, mate. At 13, down 2 places, B.A. Robertson and Maggie Bell with Hold Me.
Down 6 at 12, Elvis Cosquello and A Good Year for the Roses.
At number 11, up 7 places, it's Olivia Neutron Bomb with Physical.
I never get tired of that one. Ah, I'm 3 of 10. Rod Stewart, tonight I'm yours. Bracket, don't hurt me.
Rod, you big coward. At number 9, up 10 places, Haircut 100 with Favourite Shirts. Brackets, boy meets girl.
I think what Rod was getting at was, don't put your finger up my arse. I think that's what he's trying to say.
If that's what she wants to do, Rod, just go with it. Life's a living.
Straight in at number 8, it's Queen and Dame David Bowie with Under Pressure.
At number 7, it's swarthy, untrustworthy looking, to be frank, Julio Iglesias with Begin the Beguin. Brackets, Volve a Ampazar.
Oh.
I don't know what that translates as, but I tell you this much, I don't like the sound of it, and I don't want him near my wife.
I think it means my Volvo is the best. Not sure. Down 5 places from number 1 to number 6. That's a hell of a drop. Dave Stewart and Barbara Gaskin. And It's My Party. Not anymore, it's not.
At number 5, up 2 places, Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark with Joan of Arc. Rhymes.
Oh, standing still at number 4, it's Squeeze with Labelled with Love.
At number 3, up 2 places, it's The Four Tops with When She Was My Girl.
Still at number 2, Altered Images, led, of course, by the lovely, fragrant Scotch lass, Claire Grogan, with Happy Birthday.
Yeah, loved her and Gregory's Girl. Great movie. We've won the all-time great lines. Tits, bum, fanny, the lot.
The lot.
Someone should write a song by that name. And this week's number 1. First week at number 1, in fact, up 2 places. For The Police, with Every Little Thing She Does Is Magic. A song there about Debbie McGee.
Fantastic stuff. That's your chart. Hope you enjoyed it. There you go. What a chart.
I tell you the first thing that pops out, and there's so many songs that pop out. But, you know, people always say, well, this is the first record you bought. Yeah. Mine really was. The first single I bought was Happy Birthday by Altered Images.
Was it? I think you can see the Birdie song there.
No, I remember buying that. I remember the record shop. I can't remember what it's called now. I'll have to ask my brothers. They remember what it was called. But, I think, you know, I would have been 6, but I was certainly banging to pop music at 6. I must have been, because so many of these songs. I mean, what I genuinely think is that, you know, my kids are into music. I know your kids are into music, but I don't think, we could just be wrong, but I just don't think that kids are as into pop music because the whole routine of listening to the charts on the radio on a Sunday. Yeah. That was something that even parents did. So you just knew that was a big... There was a collective collective sort of national sport, right, that people did on a Sunday. You'd be driving home from relatives and have it on in the car, or you'd be at home. And then on Thursday, you'd watch Top of the Pops. So you knew all of the songs. You knew what was moving up and down across the spectrum. And so when I look at this, I think 6, I knew all of these songs. I went out and bought Happy Birthday. I think probably because I would have, even at 6, quite fancied Claire Grogan, sort of getting fancy when you're 6, right? Yeah. And also when you're 47. And also it says Happy Birthday. So that, to a child, is quite enticing in itself. Because you think, I like birthdays. I'm having a birthday myself soon. I hope I get some toys. I'm going to buy this song so every day I can think about my birthday. Selfish
and
freaks,
what
aren't
I'll they? Get.
All you fucking think about when you're a kid is your fucking birthday.
It's Christmas. Yeah. That's why
but
I feel
mainly
sorry
your
for
birthday
my kid.
Because, like, Len even admits this, he goes, birthday. Because I'm like, obviously, Christmas is much better. And he's like, no, fuck that. Birthday's much better.
It's your day.
Exactly. Kids don't mind admitting that. They're like, no, birthday's better. It's all about you. Christmas is bullshit. They've got to spread the attention. You've got to buy other people presents. Fuck that. Birthday's where it's at.
I mean, this is why I feel sorry for my kids, because my daughter's birthday is 28th of December and my son's is New Year's Eve. And it's just a few days after Christmas, so there's not that special build-up to it. Mine's in July. I get a big build-up to mine and lots of aftermath. But,
What do you think about What do you think about... Was yours in the summer holidays or just before the summer holidays?
It was just before July the 12th.
Oh, so it's right. Yeah, because having before. It in... My daughter has it in the summer holidays, which is double-edged sword, because it means you can do shit because you don't have to be at school, but sometimes all your mates are away. Anyway,
on holiday.
What do you think? Do you think it's true, or do you just think I'm an old out of touch man when I say that at 6-year-olds just aren't as engaged with pop as our generation were when we were 6?
I've got no idea what 6-year-olds into. I don't hang around with any. But the thing, the overarching message is that it used to be, and there was a narrative to the charts, because like you say, things were going up and going down, and they would take weeks to climb up the charts, so there was drama. Now, I don't want to sound like an old man shouting at a cloud, but now you've got stuff that's in the charts that's been there for a year because of downloads. You've got like Ed Sheeran's got 3 songs in the top 10 or whatever.
Not much drama, is
and
there?
There isn't the same narrative that you follow. It's like it was almost, like you said, it was like a sport almost.
It was.
Studying the charts.
I mean, this is really triggering my nostalgia, this particular chart, because things like, there's many songs in here that went down, the sort of classics that have been, or standards that are played to death to this day, not least Every Little Thing She Does Is Magic, which is at number one, and you know you got things like Labour With Love by Squeeze. I mean there's a lot of songs in the show. I mean Let's Groove by Earth, Wind & Fire, fucking hell, was that a re-release? That can't have first been released in 81.
That was when it was out, I think.
Well obviously there's a lot of fucking massive kind of massively famous tracks in here, but then you know more nostalgic for me is like It's My Party, Dave Stewart with Barbara Gaskin.
Yeah.
Fucking hell, I remember that. And that was number one the week before.
It was
it's
there
just
for a
dropped
few
down
weeks,
to
yeah.
six. I mean, I remember being in the playground talking about that with other kids.
Yeah. Of course,
that was like a
Dave
massive
Stewart
song.
From the Eurythmics. It was a different Dave Stewart.
Oh, was it? Oh, I didn't know that.
In case anyone didn't know that. Yeah, different Dave Stewart. That was on Stiff Records.
Yeah,
which was
Madness's
Stiff Records
label,
really, really good at creating hits.
Yeah,
there's been a thing on Channel
if
5
it ain't
on a Friday
stiff,
night.
It ain't it worth
ain't
shit.
Worth a fuck.
That's what they say, didn't
it
they?
It ain't worth a fuck, mate.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, as in like a stiff cock. Yeah.
Jalapeño.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
There's been a thing on Channel 5 recently, the greatest videos of .1983, '84, whatever. And Dave Robinson, who was the head honcho at Stiff Records, has been on that quite a bit, talking about how they made videos. Right. I think we've talked about it recently, haven't we? Where you just used to fucking do them, and they cost £20 and they'd take like 10 minutes to make a video, and they just fucking put them out and they'd have a hit single.
Was he also the manager of Madness, or was he just their record boss?
He was the manager of the record label. He ran Stiff Records,
right?
So
and he,
kind of...
and he, yeah, and he basically came up with a lot of the ideas for their videos, didn't he?
Yeah.
And of course, and their videos. The answer, the best. If you're asking the best video of any year between 79 and probably 84 or 5, it was always a Madness video.
Yeah, it was a Madness one. Dave Robinson would have made it in his lunch hour on the cheap.
Yeah,
as cheaply as possible. Because, I mean, then he got, like, Tracy Ullman to become a pop star. And previously they'd done Ian Jury and the Blockheads. They got them number one. And the Stiff was just an indie label. It was just this tiny little label. And
they just strode across the charts. I think it became part of Island Records, didn't it?
I think they did. They got bought up by somebody else, but he still retained that kind of independence.
I remember that because, as you know, my house was next door to Island Records when
next
I was a kid.
Next door to Island Records,
And we once saw the Wailers down our street, and we would see from time to time other pop stars. One time I actually met Misha Paris, which was a highlight of my entire youth.
Imagine that.
But the I remember Stiff ended up in, because we would see records in the warehouse lying around. Sometimes you'd pick old records up off the floor because they'd have a forklift truck fucking ferrying them around.
Records and falling off. When we saw Stiff,
I would get like really excited because I didn't know. Yeah. I was too young to know anything beyond the fact that Stiff was Madness's record label. I knew nothing else about it, but you know, because it was such a memorable name. And obviously at that age, Madness is sort of like your everything.
I'm just having a quick look. There was a really good documentary about Stiff Records on BBC Four.
Yeah, I think I saw that.
And I'm just
It's Tracy Ullman who goes, "If it ain't stiff, it ain't worth a fuck."
If it's on, it's kind of it's on. Oh no, it's a 1977 one that's on YouTube. I don't think the BBC Four one is on YouTube. Well, somebody needs to put it on there, mate, right away.
For God's sakes.
There's a good one about Island Records as well, a 90 minute documentary called Keep On Running, 50 Years of Island Records.
God, there might be some great footage.
You might be
down,
on that.
Down my street.
Yeah.
There is a snot-nosed kid bothering us outside of our offices.
And there's digging a with a spoon. Well.
What's that kid doing out in our driveway digging with a spoon?
He's digging for records.
What's he doing? Oh, I sent security out and he claims he's digging a tunnel to Disneyland. Oh, He's off his nut. Move him out the way. The whalers are arriving soon. He'll confuse them.
The whalers are arriving soon.
The whalers are on their way
here. Here come the whalers.
They will not want to see a snot-nosed six-year-old with a fucking dessert spoon claiming to dig a tunnel outside to fucking Florida. They'll think we're a tin pot outfit.
They're already off their heads on drugs to start with. It's going to confuse them.
That kid will get them confused and encourage them into his mad tunnel.
Oh,
and then
God,
we'll lose one of the whalers. We've lost Buddy Whaler. He disappeared down a hole built by a child.
there was a
what
book
you
came
doing
out.
There? No, sorry, I won't do an impression.
Came out in 2014 called Be Stiff, The Stiff Record Story, but it now appears to be going for about £126.
Fuck me.
Which is a shame. I'm sure I've got it on Kindle. I've got it on my Kindle, I believe.
You've got Under Pressure by Queen and David Bowie. How do you feel about that song, Andy?
I'm not really asked about it.
Do you think just because your visceral hatred for Queen is preventing you from engaging with this song?
Yeah, it really is. It's not a great song, though, either, is it?
It is a great song. I think it's a great song.
Yeah.
I really, really like it. But, I know your feelings about Queen. I'm not keen on them either. But I think your hatred runs so deep that there's no way you could listen to this song objectively.
It was also ruined further, though, by Vanilla Ice sampling it for his...
I like
awful,
that song,
awful
too.
Awful Ice. But you like that, do you? Oh, well, there you go. No, I can't. There's no good connotations at all with that. There is a song in that top 10, which, when it was out in 1981, when I was 8 or 9, whatever, I detested it even more than Queen. But now I fucking love it. Can you guess which one it is?
Let's see. It's not Haircut 100, surely, because that was a banger right from day one.
No.
Is it Joan of Arc by Orchestral Manoeuvres in the Dark?
No.
Is it Tonight I'm Yours by Rod Stewart?
Is that in the top 10?
It's at number 10.
No.
All right, what is it then?
It is Julio Iglesias, Begin the Begin.
Ah, When You Begin.
Yeah.
When You Begin. Yeah. His fucking classic, isn't it? That was
it's
when he was
incredible.
In his... That was,
it's
that, would
so
you
good.
Say that was Julio's imperial phase?
Well, yeah. Got to be, hasn't it? I don't know anything else that he really did.
The Fanny.
He did something with Willie Nelson, didn't he?
He was probably drowning in Fanny at that stage.
Oh, of course
he
was. Look at him, man. Fucking hell.
I mean, he was the ultimate. You know, I've told you about how my mum. I mean, my theory, and my wife actually said this to me. She said, basically, your mum fancied if there was a man who appeared on telly for any reason. Between like basically 1975 and 1995, your mum fancied him, and I said, "Yeah, that's basically true." But some she fancied more than others, and she's got to say it's horrible to talk about. It makes me feel uncomfortable. But her leg would start going when someone her leg would start going when someone she found particularly attractive came on the TV. It would just go, her foot would go up and down, right?
Oh, no.
And like, Mum, stop it, what are you doing? She'd go, oh, I like him. And there were certain men that that this was, and that, you got David Essex, probably her number one. And Iglesias, definitely. Her foot would have been going like the fucking like the clappers. And to be honest, it really put me off both Top of the Pops and my dinner. Because you don't want to think about your mum being aroused when you're trying to watch Top of the Pops. It's
horrible. You don't want that at all, do you? There's lots of childhood turmoil stacked up.
And stop it, man!
In this podcast.
I'll tell you another one she liked. Dennis Waterman.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, you look at Dennis Waterman when he was in Minder, and Minder started when he was 32, and he looks about 46.
I know, I'd never understood Dennis Waterman. I think that in that age, they thought, with his thinning hair and pot belly, right? And they go, no, but he's a tough guy, isn't he? And you go, well, like, sort of.
He's a man's man.
Yeah, that's what I think my mum liked. She, like men who drove around in Capri stinking of fags.
You'll have to shave.
Who drank scotch in the daytime. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, horrible.
That if you were that sort of a man in the 80s or the 70s, you probably got quite a lot of action. Julio was not that sort of man.
No, Julio was smooth. But getting back
smooth
to that
as
song,
silk.
You listen to the band on that. They are. It's almost as if it was done by some kind of musical perfection computer. This sounds so good. It's so fucking just well drilled. It's almost like,
God, I'm going to listen to this as soon as we finish.
Oh, honestly, it is really, really good. I hated it at the time.
Yeah,
I
mean, we were talking about it the other day. My wife got a load of vinyl down from the attic at her mum's, all her old records, and she had a huge amount of compilations from this era, you know, before now kind of cornered the market.
Yeah.
There was a load of different ones like Monster Hits, Hot Tracks and all that stuff. She had loads of them. We were just talking about, on top of that, we had some friends around, we were playing them, and I think it was a song from a few years later by Boris someone, a love song. I Want to Wake
Gardner,
Up With You.
I Want to Wake Up With You. Yeah.
Exactly. And we were like, this is in the grand tradition of in the 80s when you were a kid, you'd be watching it and there'd be all these brightly coloured bands, fucking Culture Club, Bow Wow Wow, whoever, coming on, fucking frying your mind, all action, all colour, all excitement.
Yeah.
And you'd be like cheering on Top of the Pops like you're in the fucking Roman Colosseum, right?
Yeah.
Ah, fucking come on! This is brilliant! Soak up balloons everywhere.
Yeah.
Fucking Bruno Brooks in a satin jacket. You'd just be like, this is fucking brilliant, right? And then there was a tradition that once in a while, all of a sudden, and you never knew where it came from, they'd go, and now this is a new entry, and there'd be some cunt in a suit with nothing else on stage holding a thin microphone and singing a fucking ballad, right?
Oh, as we've called them before, Sam, a kissing song.
A kissing song, and you would be fuming. Yeah. And I was saying to my mate, Rory, I was going, did you get actually angry, like almost violently angry? And went, oh, yeah, of course. Like, and then and then everyone else as well. My wife was saying, yeah, I'd be like shouting. I'd be like having a tantrum about it.
Yeah.
Right. And I'll tell you another one that came a few years later, Glenn Medeiros. Right?
Oh, God, yeah.
Just went,
that is still like, shit, though, to be fair.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying I've reviewed reassessed all of them and said, oh, I like them. I don't. I mean, I'll take your word for it, Julio Iglesias. So I'm definitely going to listen to it because I can see it now. Mm. But he was sort of like, began in 1981, he sort of like, this is, he was part of a tradition. And once in a while, it wouldn't happen every week, but fairly regularly on Top of the Pops, everything would grind down. And I always thought Michael Hurl and the other powers that be at Top of the Pops probably didn't particularly even want to feature this artist. Mm. But because this artist had suddenly sold so many records that week, you basically had to feature them because they were moving so fast up the chart. The record label would go, you've got to feature this. This is the most popular song in the country right now, right? So they'd go, fucking hell, we've got to do it. But the kids watching would go, this is not what my parents pay my license fee for. This is bullshit, and it's the opposite of what Top of the Pop stands for. Get it off the fucking telly and get madness back on now.
the classic example I can think of is Jennifer Rush, The Power of Love, which was number one for like 5 weeks. That was like, God, and you, make you, it all, fuck off.
All you think is, who the fuck has hijacked our chart? Because that's what it was. It was our chart, and it got fucking hijacked sometimes by, like, nans, right?
I always assumed that these were things that Terry Wogan had picked up when he was playing on Radio 2 on the breakfast show in the morning. And that's how they got into the chart. Because it had 11 million listeners, whatever.
Nans and mums fucking picking up on a kissing song and putting it on top of the Pops, which was out of order. They should have had a separate show on BBC Two for those people to
kissing
watch
shit.
With the kissing songs and kept all the fun and colour and madness on our fucking BBC One Top of the Pops.
I mean, like I say, there's some of those songs that we thought were shit then and are shit now, like Power of Love, and like the Glenn Medeiros one.
Yeah.
Some of them are fantastic now, like Begin the Begin and Phyllis Nelson, Move Closer. Which is a brilliant song. Hated it then.
Yeah, I probably hated them, but that's an absolute. Here's another one, since it wasn't one on her own. It's like, it was two people when they go, hang on. It was we laughed our heads off at school the next day at Phyllis Nelson because it goes, now we feel we're really making love. She actually said, we are making love.
We're so doing a sex.
With a lot of songs, you heard hints at sex, but you didn't think they're really going to talk about sex or use the word. Yeah. It was all implied. But she said, feel like we're really making love. And I remember going in school next day and we're giving it that, did you see it?
Yeah.
When she says feel like and everyone's doing an impression of it because it sounded like such an over the top kissing song. You know when you do that thing of pretending to get off of yourself when you wrap your arms around yourself and so it looks from behind like you're snogging someone and you're all in the playground going feel like I'm really making love and like laughing our heads off about it.
Totally
fucking great.
I mean, I can think of another one that I hated then but love now. Michael McDonald and Patti LaBelle, On My Own.
Oh my God, what a
didn't
track
get
that
number
is.
One, but it's brilliant. Awful
that's a
then.
Fucking but, banger.
Yeah.
It's anything. True. A lot of those sort of soulful ballads, they felt like more for your mum or your nan. But
we've
now
we've grown into them over the years, haven't we?
Fuck yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, loads of them.
All of those songs. Like, what about? I mean, going back, I don't know what year this was, but Endless Love. I mean, fucking hell.
Yeah.
That's an incredible song. But when you're a kid, you want all songs to be fast and colourful.
You want to be bouncing up and down and you'd be able to dance to them. The pinnacle of that genre, it reached its fucking nuclear conclusion was when I was still at Outprice and it was fucking Robson and Jerome singing their songs for housewives.
That was just out of order.
The Stars of
Soul. I mean, it was just out of order and they should have done a separate show.
It was just shifting product at that point. You know who was behind that, don't you? Do you know who was behind the Robson and Jerome cult?
Cowell.
Yeah.
Cowell, the cunt.
Fucking monster.
You know what? They should have really had a Radio 2 chart and a Radio 1 chart. They should have.
Oh, but we were just fighting off nanas coming in and buying that single. We had
What did they see in Robson and Jerome? Because they're nice.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, Robson Green being the Northeast lad.
Yeah.
That's an extra attraction to selling it up here as well.
He's a lovely lad. That Robson Green, he's a lovely lad. He's absolutely gorgeous too, but he's very down to earth with it.
But that's 15 years on from what we're looking at here. And I tell you what, we'll stop there because there's loads more to look at in this chart. But I just urge you to go away now and listen to Begin the Begin by Julio Iglesias. Because it is just, it's almost like a glass coffee table of a song. It is just so smooth and pristine. Please do. And we'll come back in a couple of weeks and we'll have another stab at this chart. So thank you and goodbye.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.